G'day and welcome back to the Farms of Us podcast, where we talk everything agribusiness. Hope your week's gotten off to a flying start, and really thank you for joining me on the podcast. Whether you're a new or an old frequent listener, we thank you for joining in this week. Here we talk to the industry leaders to allow you as a listener to take key elements away that you may be able to implement into your own enterprise. And if you can't take anything away, just to use it as motivation to start growing your agribusiness and to set it up for growth into the future. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already and leave us a review on Apple. They really do help the podcast and keep me motivated to keep producing for you and also the industry. So if you could do that, that would be amazing, and pass it on to another farmer down the road. Share a screenshot of where you're listening and tag Farms Advice, and we'll share it back as well. Building better agribusinesses with Farms Advice. Now, on this week's show, we have Louis Holland. He has forged a career on and off the field playing Aussie Sevens. He's now playing for the Melbourne Rebels in centre position and was unlucky to come away with the win on Friday night. He's always had the connection to agriculture through family and has bought a piece of land himself with his soon-to-be wife. Running Outeringa as a Speckle Park cattle stud, he shares how it started and how he juggles his commitments of being a professional footy player. I won't take up any more time as Louis and I get stuck into it about on and off the pitch. Let's get into it. G'day, Louis. Thanks for coming on the podcast today, mate. How's everything going down your way?
Yeah, g'day. Thanks for having me. Yeah, no, going well. Training full-time at the moment, so getting stuck into that. Our season's just about to kick off on the weekend, so yeah, my mindset and everything's kind of rugby-focused.
So you've left the farm tools behind for a little bit?
Yeah. Kind of a bit of a mix-up this year in regards to how kind of I've been doing stuff probably since 2017 when we first bought our farm. So, yeah, finding it a little bit, I guess, as a juggling act, but got some good people to help us out, which is always handy.
Yeah, absolutely. So just for the listeners, give them a bit of an overview of where you've come from, your background. Some may not know that you played rugby sevens for Australia. It's a pretty amazing feat coming from country towns and then also coming from agriculture. Just gives a bit of a background on that.
Yeah, okay. So, grew up in a little town called Braidwood, which is in New South Wales, between Canberra and the coast. Went to school in Canberra, so travelled in and out every day from year six, which was probably like maybe about 100 k's in, 100 k's back. So did that through my schooling life.
On the school bus?
Learned to play. Dad actually worked in town as a builder, so he would drive us in and then, yeah, you'll catch three buses on the way back home.
It's nuts, isn't it?
And end up at home at about 5:30 usually until, yeah, I guess started playing rugby and enjoyed it, was half decent at it. And then, yeah, just continued that through my schooling years. And then basically when I was 2010, when I was 17, finished school, was at the Brumbies, got picked up with the Australian Sevens side. And then for the last 10 years, have played full-time with them, traveled the world, seen many countries, seen many cities. And then just this year, or with COVID last year, and with not being able to travel, I guess, globally, I jumped across and had a go at 15 with the Rebels and trained with them just to more keep my mind occupied and mix it up and stay fresh. And then this year, obviously COVID still lingering. I've signed a bit of a dual deal with the Melbourne Rebels and the Australian Sevens. So, trying to fulfil as much time as I can and play as much, I guess, rugby. Because you get overtraining pretty quickly.
Yeah, I suppose you want a few minutes on the field rather than just smashing out training day in, day out. Once it count.
Yeah, definitely. Training is always good and fun, but I think playing the game or playing is why you train. So yeah, you miss that competitive edge. Don't get me wrong, you always compete at training, but when you're up against an opposition, you know, you have a bit of fire and it makes things exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose what I brought you on for was, like, you're a bit of an influencer around the industry for clothing brands, but also for people looking to enter into agriculture, and just to see a bit of a glimpse of what's going on. What's Aotearoa Speckle? Is that your family? Or?
Yep. No, so my mum's side of the family have always and still kind of live off the land. So they were shearers. My uncles were shearers. My grandfather was a shearer. My great-grandfathers had properties, and my grandparents run those properties, my uncle. So always kind of been around, I guess, agriculture. And growing up, I wanted to be a jackaroo, but ended up, that's what my uncles did when they left school, but ended up playing football. So I've always had a desire to do something with, agriculture or find my way back on the land or into a country, small country town. So in 2017, my partner and I, we brought a property in Stanthorpe, which is in Queensland. And we started just a commercial kind of Angus breeder block. And we crossed them with Speckle Puckles. We kind of do that as a bit of a side hustle and keep ourselves busy. Some way to spend our money and just to kind of try and see if we can tie up a good little income and something that we can do after rugby. We've got a few purebred Speckle Park cows, so hopefully down the track that will have a little stud going and just kind of learn and see where it gets to and make a few mistakes and hopefully make a few good ones as well.
That's what it's all about. What about, like, the footy boys that you play with? Many of them come from ag background, or they're keen to come check out some speckles.
There's a few blokes. I guess most of them probably come out of Sydney who I know that have, from country backgrounds and come to boarding school in Sydney.
Yeah.
Like Ned Hennigan, he played for and he's over in Japan now. He's a good example of a country boy that probably ended up back there. Mac Mason was at the Waratahs. Kind of within COVID, he got laid down and he went back up north and went back onto his station and worked with his family. And now he's over in Austin. There's definitely a good handful of blokes that are running around in rugby circles and no doubt will tie back into the agriculture ways after they kind of hang up the boots, I'd say.
Do you think, like, the COVID experience that gave you more time back on farm, working with the cows?
Yeah, definitely. So usually the way it would kind of run, we bought our place in 2017. We had a good year in 2017 and then basically went dry from then on in. So I guess the juggling act for us at that time was running out of water. We were actually living in Sydney. I was flying to Brisbane, driving to Stanthorpe. Charlotte's parents have been a massive help and they kind of helped us feed cattle through the drought. We had a lot of expenses but we probably didn't really want to be spending in the first couple of years. We had to put a ball down, we had to run troughs, we had to, dig out dams, obviously because it was dry and it was a good time to do it. It's been a massive juggling act, I guess, the last 4 years. But then with COVID hitting last year, and everything just being kind of put on the back burner and put on hold. We got to spend a couple of months up there, well, probably a good 3 months, and get all our fencing done, get a couple of sheds designed and stuff and, try and kick a few goals when, I guess, our other goals for that year were put on ice.
Yeah, definitely. It's a good thing, like, that you can be so flexible. I think that's one of the best bits of ag. You can be so flexible. It gives you time to go play footy once you've got it all organised.
Yeah, definitely. It's obviously good now that we've got some rain and we've got some grass, so you don't have to be, I guess, on farm or worrying about feeding livestock and organising hay or trying to find hay and everything like that. So, I think when it's going good, you can get off farm, definitely, and you can enjoy it a bit more rather than always, I guess, going up there to work.
Yeah, 100%. Did you have to buy in a bit of feed throughout the drought down there?
Yeah. So, yeah, we brought, just standard cotton seed and a few semis of hay. We'll probably dry there for probably good parts of 2 years. We kind of chanced our arm a little bit. We ran out of dam water. We got a bloke in to try and sink a bore. Ended up getting good bore water. So kind of got lucky in a sense, but yeah, there was some tough times in between.
Yeah, so you actually had to put a bit of infrastructure into the place as well straight away.
Yeah, definitely. So I kind of had like a bit of a 5-year plan of how, if everything was smooth sailing, should have looked or could look, and what we kind of wanted to achieve and tick off. And I guess the place that we brought is only relatively small and has 50 cows on it, and we had just another place. So it was kind of work out how to kind of use the funds on an average throughout those 5 years and what infrastructure we needed to try and, one, make it an easier and more practical place to operate and run for being there kind of part-time, to also add some, equity back into it. So if we did down the track need it or wanted to buy another place, we could use that and try and grow and expand.
Yeah, definitely. So it sounds like you got off to a good start and balancing it with your footy career as well. But how do you think you're using your platform within agriculture? I saw you did a bit of work with Drought Angels. It's pretty good to get involved with that.
I think obviously having a second income off farm, well, I guess our major income off farm.
Yeah.
We knew that the struggle, like how hard the struggles, I guess, were, not just from a mental side of things, but also from, I guess, a monetary side of things as well, through those times. And with people who weren't, I guess, in such a position that we were in, we found it hard. So we kind of were like, Jesus Christ, we're finding it hard. There's a lot of people out there who are going to be in a lot worse situations. So I'm good mates with the guys from Ringers Western. So we kind of did like a bit of a Drought Angels hat, and all proceeds went to Drought Angels to help, they did boxes of groceries or paid for school fees or whatever it kind of went to. We raised $50,000 from there. We also raised $25,000 when the floods went through North Queensland up there, because there wasn't much media down here. So we raised, I think, $25,000 from up there, and that went to Blaze Aid to help, with some cost or within fencing or something that they were doing up there. So I guess just try and reach and expand. I've always loved, I love Australia and love, being able to represent it on the sporting field, but I also love how and what Australia has to offer to, supply us for food, but also, supply overseas, and just what we produce and be proud of, and they are tough times sometimes and they are good times in other times, but, we have a very good resource that we should be proud of and, get behind, because as you see with COVID, when the world stops, a lot of things become irrelevant, and you eating becomes a higher priority, I guess, that and toilet paper, as you see what flew out of the supermarket. Yeah. So, I think it was a bit of a reality check just to, how we do things back home and how we can support and how, I guess, how lucky we are of what we got here.
Yeah, I suppose you're open to both aspects of like rugby, a bit of a reality check, like with no rugby on all of last year, but then moving to ag, everyone was depending on agriculture to put the food on tables throughout lockdowns across the world. Did you see like that really helped you out being within ag at that time?
Yeah, I guess so. I was kind of always, I had a conversation with someone the other day, and they were like, oh, how good, they're a farming entity, and they said, oh, how good's the, I guess, the JobKeeper at the moment. And then, a comment was said, oh, well, I wish there was something like this for when the droughts were on, because we could have done a lot with the $1,500. So you just see how quickly the world shut down and how much and what people needed so fast in regards to the JobKeeper. When the ag went, well, there still is a lot of people in drought and, you know, there is assistance there, but you know, sometimes when you hear stories and read stuff, that it is so hard to get. So you know, it just goes to prove how resilient and tough and you know, the farmers are that we have, and how we should support them. Because when the planes don't fly and the boats don't sail, that if we can look after ourselves here, we stand a good chance, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. Well, most of the drought loans, they're loans. They're not like job seeker disposable cash, more so compared to the drought loans we'd get 6 months later when it's probably already green again. So.
Yeah, 100%, definitely. And, you know, I guess, you know, that would have helped out the guys on the land through that time a great deal with, you know, something like that. So hopefully now, or if we ever do get back into a dry spell, that, you know, that those become available and they can kind of consider and realise how important the ag army is within Australia.
Yeah, definitely. So moving on, what's plans for the Power Couple of rugby in the next 5 years? Are you looking, we won't speak of retirement for footy yet, but are you looking to put more emphasis into back on farm? Or are you just
playing? Yeah, we're looking to get another property at the moment. I guess you can look at, I know we're juggling a bit. My first kind of business plan was to get one place set up and then a gist land and go down that track. But then you can kind of see the incentives at the moment through different grants where you can try and apply for, you know, the 50% match that the commercial lender will give you at a low rate. So it's almost as much as a gist in a property. But then again, those cattle prices are so high at the moment, which is hard to buy breeders or hard to buy anything to kind of get a quick return on. So I think at the moment, we're looking at buying another place if we can get that across the line. But if not, I guess we'll just be patient and something will come up. And yeah, just kind of, I guess, maybe just another place and, you know, invest in cattle off farm and try and build that up so we have a significant amount of breeders to kind of support, I guess, one wage or keep one of us busy if one of us does retire and then on the field, I guess. Hopefully play a bit of Super Rugby this year. Charlotte and I hopefully get to another Olympics. Charlotte hopefully win a gold medal and myself win a gold medal. Getting married at the end of the year. So yeah, the next 5 years no doubt will fly by, but there's a fair few things you want to tick off and get a hold of and get after.
It sounds like you're ticking off a few boxes for this year. Congrats on the wedding. Where is that going to be?
Just on our farm in Queensland. Kind of looked around and had a look at wedding venues and, you know, they're all expensive. So I ended up building a barn over COVID. Yeah, I'll put a big barn on top of the hill that serves as a wedding venue, tax write-off.
Yep.
Isn't someone else have any money?
Sounds great. You'll have to listen to the podcast a few weeks ago with Charlie Bloomfield. He was like talking about buying or leasing a property, which one like you should do or what you should look for. That'd be pretty good for you just to... It might be more beneficial for you to buy in the long run or if you're looking for 5-10 years lease.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give that one a listen the other day, which is good. So
good stuff. You have to pass the podcast around to the footy boys if they're in ag. So Louis, how can people follow you online? Where's the go-to?
You can best probably just on Instagram.
Yep.
Just Louis Holland or Outeringer Speckles. Yeah, I've got two accounts there that I try and, you know, post what I'm doing day to day, or I guess not day to day, probably week to week, or anything that's kind of like we're thinking about doing, or if we buy, you know, a new bull or AI, I guess, from the ag side of things. And then, yeah, kind of a bit of insight into what I do just as my personal life on my other account.
Absolutely. I think like a lot of young fellas are going to do the same, a bit more insight than these older blokes have been doing. I'm trying to get my dad to pass a few images over, but it's never happened.
Good luck.
Absolutely.
Half the battle.
Just about wraps it all up. Thanks for coming on the show today, mate. That was a quick one, but good to have you on. You're in isolation down there in Canberra, so you can get back into your footy.
Yep.
Best of luck for the the rest of the year.
Cheers, Jack. Thanks for having me, mate.
Talk about a ripper bloke working in agriculture and as a professional footy player. Louis was unreal to have on the podcast, so thanks for tuning in. It's amazing to have talent such as Louis and his partner Charlotte within agriculture with the platforms they have, with hundreds of thousands of followers, and what sort of influence they could have for Aussie Ag, really. So they have done it really well with Drought Angels, supporting farmers in any way they can. So I'm sure they'll flourish once they take a step back from footy and focus on the farm. But for now, footy is a big part of their life and Louis's life. So can't wait to see him kick goals on and off the footy pitch. Don't forget to listen to our weekly wraps and like, comment and subscribe to keep the Farms Advice podcast ticking. We're on a roll in 2021 and I'd like to keep that going. So follow us on Instagram and Twitter @Farms Advice for further motivation to grow your agribusiness, and I'll see you next time.